Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. I'd like to introduce Celia from Scotland, who has cancer. Welcome, Celia.
Hello.
Could you tell us your story?
I'll try. 5 years this month, I was diagnosed with inoperable non-small cell lung cancer. And they believed that I would only live for 6 months. Mm-hmm. But they would give me palliative chemotherapy to treat any symptoms I had and a bit of radiation. So that's what happened. And that went over a matter of weeks. I didn't have anything long term. After I'd had that, I went into a sort of remission, which surprised them greatly. But I was told right away that it would come back. You know, don't forget that this will come back. Mm. And so I thought, I've got to do something. So I searched about on the internet, and I don't really know how I found LDN, but I did. And maybe something I've typed in with cancer and it's come up. I thought this really interested me because I'd looked at other protocols, but I liked the science behind this one. So I approached the GP who immediately, the first one wouldn't prescribe LDN, and I gave it a week, and then I went back to the second one, and he would prescribe it for me because I think he thought, well, I've got nothing to lose and I'm not going to be here for long, so why worry about that? And so he prescribed it for me. And some of the nodes in my chest came back up again a few months later, I would say. But ever since then, they've been stable. And I've had scans every 6 months. And they've always been stable, no active disease. And I had a scan just last week. And it was the same. It was stable mediastinal disease, that's what they called it. This is, as I say, 5 years this month now since diagnosis, and I've sort of gone a bit further on than I thought I would, 5 years in fact.
So what does your GP say, or your oncologist?
They always say it's a miracle. Mm. My GP has said it's a miracle, I can't believe it's a miracle. And the oncologist, the first one I had, he knew I was taking LDN, but I didn't know if the second one did, the new one. And I only met him the other day, and I didn't dare mention it, because I was frightened. He wrote to the GP and said, stop it. And when he went out of the room, I said to the nurse, I didn't like to say about LDN to him. And she said, Celia, he knows about it. They all know about it. They all talk about it in the meetings.
So when was it you started the LDN? How long ago?
I was diagnosed in the May, and then it would be... And then I was... As I say, I went into sort of remission, then the nodes were coming back. I would say about 10 or 11 months after the chemo and the radiotherapy. The reason for that was because I had a hip replaced, and they didn't know what they were going to put me on, you know, if they were going to put me on opiates and stuff. I had the operation, and then about 10 days after it, I thought, right, now's the time to start. And that's what I did. And I've never missed it. Been on it ever since.
So did you have any initial side effects when you started?
Just a few dreams, quite vivid, a bit of sleeplessness. That soon went, a couple of weeks, I would say. And even now and again, I have quite a good dream. But that's about it, really. Nothing else. No, nothing at all. Liver, everything's always come back fine. Blood test.
Where did you have your prescription filled?
Well, the doctor, I said to the doctor, I can send them to Dixon's because it's cheaper. Mm. And he said, you don't worry about the price, we do. And he said, just take it to the chemist and let them send it wherever they will. I think it's Martinville that do it for me. But the problem was, you see, I'm on a repeat prescription. It would be difficult because I've got quite a lot on the repeat prescription. To say, will you just give me this one every 3 months or something. I've just confused them all down there. Mm. And so I've just let it be. It's easier to just let it be. Mm-hmm. I got a few spares off a friend of mine who uses it and dilutes it themselves. And I got a few spares just in case they ever said that the doctors that we can't give it to you anymore. Because I suppose it's quite expensive the way I'm guessing it.
What would you say to other people with cancer who are contemplating trying LDM?
I would say to them, get your tumour burden down. You know, you'll probably need to use conventional methods first. And then, but I would say use LDM at the same time and keep taking it afterwards for the rest of your life, basically.
What else have you noticed, Celia, while you've been taking LDM?
Well, I had IBS quite badly, and that was the thing that I noticed immediately. That was wonderful. The spasms, bloating, it all stopped. I've been on LDN about 4 years anyway. I've had about half a dozen flares in that time, and that's only lasted a day. I was on drugs for lupus. I had mild lupus, and I went off them altogether, and I don't take anything for that at all, and it doesn't affect me anymore. So it's been a bit of a miracle for me, really.
Is there anything else you feel you should add?
I just feel that I should add that LDN should be offered to cancer patients. You know, they should have the offer and the chance of it. And I think that should be, the doctors, if the doctors were more educated about it, they would prescribe it as easily as they prescribe amitriptyline, which is off-label for pain and such things. Mm-hmm. And so I think they should... You know, what's the big deal about LDN when it's so cheap?
That's right.
So I think more education for them all. You know, if somebody could go around to the hospitals and to all the oncology groups and things, the oncologists could then push for it if they were given the information and were convinced. I would love it if Dr. Zergen would come and talk to them.
Thank you for sharing your story with us, Celia, and being such an inspiration for other people, and also for all the work that you do in helping raise awareness of LDN.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to introduce Gayla from the United States. Welcome, Gayla.
Thank you.
Could you tell us the reason why you take LDN?
The reason why I started taking naltrexone was because in 2005 I was diagnosed with carcinoid cancer. I had done some research and had found that naltrexone actually can help build the immune system. And so my doctor started me on it, I believe in 2006.
How old were you at the time?
51.
So how advanced was your cancer at that time?
The type of cancer that I have, you can have it for many, many years and not even know that you have it. Mm-hmm. And so they had predicted that I had had this cancer, this tumor, in my large intestine for at least 10 years before I was diagnosed. Unfortunately, because it was there for so long, it had metastasized into my liver. That's why I had to have surgery, and then I had chemoembolization, which pretty much wiped out my immune system.
How long did all that surgery and things take?
The surgery I had in January of 2006. I was in the hospital, I think, a week with that surgery, and I actually had to have 6 organs removed during that surgery. And then the chemoembolization, I was in the hospital for 5 days. Between the surgery and the embolization, it really took its toll on my immune system. So then that's why my doctor started me on it.
So just your regular doctor that prescribed you the LDN?
My doctor is a DO. He used to work in an ER in the hospital. Even though he's a DO, I mean, he can do Western medicine, but he leans towards alternative medications and treatments. And, I mean, he's not afraid to think outside the box.
So what is your health like now?
My health is pretty stable right now. You know, I've been using the naltrexone ever since then. And even after you know, once I started using the naltrexone, and I believe I was taking it about a year, my doctor actually did do another sort of outside-the-box treatment. It's called urine therapy. I would take the naltrexone orally, get it into my system, and then collect urine, and then they would filter that through a needle, and then they would inject it back into my body so that I was sort of getting a double dose, if you will, to continue to boost my immune system. And then after I went to Switzerland three times in 2008 for Y90 and LU177, then my platelets and my red blood cells took a huge hit. And so that's when my doctor started me on doxycycline, 5 milligrams compounded. And so I continue to take the naltrexone and the doxycycline. I take Nature's Thyroid for my thyroid, and these are all compounded drugs. So up to this point, my health is probably better, way better than when I first started this trip. So I just continue to do everything. Mm-hmm. Because I've tried to stop a couple times, and so I always falter a little. So it's like, well, I can't stop, so I take it.
Did you find any initial side effects for starting the LDN?
The only side effect I have found with the naltrexone is that when I first got it, tried taking it at night, like they recommend, and I was up for like 3 days. We started backing it off like earlier, mm-hmm. and about the latest I can take it is probably around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If I take it much later than that, then I can't sleep. I can't sleep at all. So that's the only side effect that I have felt from it. I don't feel anything.
What dose do you take?
4.5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you say to other people with your condition that are considering trying LDN?
I would encourage anybody to try it. To my knowledge, I've not heard of any bad side effects. I don't know of any long-term bad effects from it. I think from taking it, all you can do is gain health benefits from it. Mm-hmm. And I've encouraged people, you know, I've tried to encourage people for a long, long time to at least try it to get their immune system built up. It's like once I find something that works for me, I know things don't work for everybody because mm-hmm. we're all so different, but I know this drug has been shown to relieve a lot of different illnesses. So I think it's worth a shot.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'd like to introduce Susie from Wales, and she takes LDN for multiple sclerosis and breast cancer. Welcome, Susie.
Thank you.
When did you first start to notice MS symptoms?
With hindsight, I realised that I started getting symptoms in my mid-20s after a bout of glandular fever and hepatitis B injections. But I didn't start thinking, oh crikey, there's something wrong with me that I need to address. Mm-hmm. Until after my daughter was born, which was in 1998.
What sort of symptoms did you have at that point?
After my daughter was born, things that I thought maybe were postnatal didn't go away. So the symptoms I had were weakness in my legs, difficulty standing and walking, lots of strange sensations, you know, the bog standard MS stuff. Things creeping and crawling up and down my arms and my leg and my back. I had episodes of extreme vertigo where I couldn't walk. I had nerves in my face and head and neck affected, so I had to all intents is a kind of Bell's palsy. I lost the sense of taste and smell for a while. Gosh, I had so many symptoms. I had optic neuritis, of course. Everybody gets that. I went sort of 80% blind in my left eye, which did return a few years later. What else? Lots of very painful spasms and kind of like extreme cramps in my feet, my legs, my hands. And it just all got worse and worse till eventually my walking was kind of shuffling. I wasn't able to hold a pen. I couldn't read because I had such bad nystagmus. Slurred speech, continence problems, bowel and bladder problems. Things like that. Those are the ones that come to mind first of all.
So what did your doctor do? What medication did he offer you?
Well, at first we weren't sure what it was, so I had a stream of investigations. They first of all thought I had Cushing's syndrome because my cortisol levels were so high. But to cut a very long, boring story short, the story which most MS sufferers go through of trying every other diagnosis under the sun. Eventually, I think it was the optic neuritis made them question MS. And so they sent me for an MRI, and the MRI came back clear, and they said, we're 99% sure you haven't got it, don't worry, go home, everything will be fine. Symptoms carried on getting worse. I had episodes where I got really very ill. After about a year, I went back to the doctor and said, do you really not think it's MS? And he said, actually, I do think it's MS. What do you want to do about it? And I said, well, I understand that the treatment on offer via the NHS is either beta interferons, steroids, or combination thereof. And I don't want to take those things because, having a medical background myself, I knew, the side effects and that they're not particularly effective in MS. I've looked after a lot of people with MS in the past who've been on them. I did take steroids when I literally couldn't walk at all because as a single parent, I had a responsibility to be fit enough to take care of my daughter. Mm. But I only did that for just one very short phase, just to get myself back on my feet and able to walk again. But after that, I decided not to go for a diagnosis and not to go for treatment because I just didn't think that the treatment available was going to be of any help. The doctor's advice was go and live next to a bus stop. That was the hospital doctor, not my GP. My GP was very supportive and basically said, he'd support whatever decision I made or whatever treatment I wanted. But that was what the hospital doctor said.
Mm. Well, I hope he thought he was being amusing.
No, she was genuine.
Really?
Yeah.
So, what did you do next?
Well, I sort of carried on ignoring it. And I moved to Swansea because my daughter got asthma. So I wanted to live next to the coast. And then I got to the stage where I thought, I have to try and do something about this. And a friend of mine had a client with MS who is an occupational therapist. Mm-hmm. And she said that her friend did lots of alternative things and that what she was managing her condition using alternative treatments. Mm-hmm. So I phoned up this friend and she told me about the Multiple Sclerosis Resource Centre. I phoned the Multiple Sclerosis Resource Centre and they sent me an information pack. As a result of that information pack, I got Judy Graham's book, which talks about all the different treatments that you can, mm-hmm. you can go for. And I read them, decided that there were certain things that scientifically made sense and therefore were worth a shot, and was really quite annoyed that nobody told me all these things, when I first was ill. And then I got New Pathways magazine as a result of joining MSRC and saw a picture of Bob Lawrence and noticed that his phone number was a Swansea number. So I thought, aha, it would be very good to speak to a GP who's got MS. You know, I felt it would be really useful for me to speak to somebody who kind of understood. So I phoned Bob up. He did the most detailed medical history of anybody that I've ever seen. I think we were on the phone for about 4 hours. And at the end of that, he recommended that I consider the dietary changes that the MSRC recommends. He didn't recommend the best bet diet, but a sort of version thereof. Mm-hmm. And he also recommended low-dose naltrexone, so both of which I went for.
So when you first started LDN, did you have any initial side effects?
Yeah. The first dose I took that night, I was able to read. I read a book from cover to cover, Chocolat. I never forget it.
It's a good book. I've read it too.
I know. It's just amazing. I mean, having not been able to read, you know, properly, I mean, I could read things like, you know, I could focus enough just to sort of work out what was on the television that night. But even then, that was a struggle, you know, and I'd have to magnify things. And so I read this book from cover to cover, and that was just amazing. The only detrimental side effect that I notice ever from LDN is, like, sleep disturbance. But I didn't notice that at first because my condition meant that my sleep was so disturbed anyway because of all the spasms and pain and strange sensations and going to the loo all the time, that really the sleep disturbance from the LDN was kind of negligible in comparison.
So what did you notice first of all with the LDN, and how long did it take?
Well, like I said, the first thing was my eyesight. What I noticed was a reduction in the psychological confusion, you know, the brain fog seemed to diminish. I had more energy. I was able to control my walking better. I was able to, you know, pick my feet up and take better steps. I didn't fall so much. I could hold a pen and write. And sort of gradually, as the weeks carried on, the spasms decreased. I lost loads of weight, which was a surprising thing, but maybe simply because, you know, my body wasn't in kind of emergency mode anymore. I don't know. The improvement with the vision didn't stay at quite that level. It kind of deteriorated a bit again, but it's never gone back to as bad as it was. And the nystagmus never returned. I stopped being frightened to go to sleep. I mean, that's one of the really big differences, you know, that now I don't expect to wake up X number of times a night yelling the place down with sort of muscles tearing and things. I mean, it's completely life-changing. I'm sure that if I wasn't on the LDN, I wouldn't be mobile anymore. And although I do walk as though I've been drinking gin all lunchtime, I am walking, you know. It was absolutely life-changing.
You mentioned all the other awful symptoms that you had. Which of those symptoms are still there?
I still have kind of mild versions of the symptoms, you know. You know, I can't walk that far. I do get very tired. But at least I am still walking. I can get my mobility scooter in and out of the car, you know, whereas before there's no way I could have lifted it. Sometimes I use a stick, sometimes I don't. You know, I have symptoms. You know, I still get periodic problems with my bowels and bladder. And like all MSs, I know every toilet in the country. but it's not nearly as bad as it was. You know, everything is just... I'd say that I'm kind of 75% better than I was before I went on the LDN. Feeling is that if I'd discovered the LDN sooner, I probably wouldn't have been left with the residual disability that I've got. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obviously pure conjecture, but that's my feeling. For a while, I was unable to get LDN, and my health deteriorated really very severely. It was gradual and took about 3 or 4 months to go right downhill again. And then when I was then able to get the LDN and restarted it, I gradually improved again. But I never improved to the level I was before I stopped it. So what I'd say to people is get on the LDN as quickly as you possibly can.
And then, unfortunately, you were diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yes. Oh, joy of joys.
Being greedy there. Would you like to tell us what happened?
I had a very stressful experience, which I won't go into at the moment because it's really boring. But at the end of that experience, I found a 5-centimetre lump in my left breast, which had appeared, it had gone from non-palpable to being able to palpable within 2 weeks. So I knew it was something serious, and I knew that it wasn't a cyst or anything like that because of the way it felt and things. So do you want me to talk you through?
Yes, do.
I went down to my GP, I said I found a lump, she had a feel, she thought the same as me, referred me to the breast care service at Swansea Hospital. They have a statutory responsibility to see people within 2 weeks of an urgent referral. So on the 13th day, I think I got seen, by which time the growth had already increased. They did a mammogram followed by an ultrasound followed by 8 core biopsies, and they were pretty convinced it was malignant. So was I. I got the results, I can't remember, within a fortnight or something. Not as quickly as you'd imagine that one should in those circumstances. Mm. I had to bellyache to get the... It's a really long story, but basically there are statutory time limits to getting the operation, but everybody falls under the same umbrella of those time limits, irrespective of the speed of the, you know, growth and or what type of cancer it is and things. So basically my surgeon couldn't fit me in soon enough and it was growing. So eventually Guy Lloyd, who's the assembly member for this part of Wales, kicked some backside with the help of Edwina Hart, and I managed to get the operation, but it took a long time, and I was getting very anxious that whilst I was waiting it could spread. Mm. And by the time I was operated on, it was 3 centimetres bigger. During that time I was trying to find out what would be the best treatment, and I found out about the work that Dr. Bert Berkson's doing in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Using alpha lipoic acid and LDN and vitamin B and things. And mm-hmm. also I read up and emailed with Ian Zagon in, I think he's in either Philadelphia or Massachusetts, or maybe he works out of both universities, I can't remember. And he works using LDN in combination with chemotherapy. Because the tumour turned out to be HER2 positive, they wanted me to have chemotherapy. And it turned out that I wasn't allowed to have Herceptin unless I had chemotherapy. All the evidence that I managed to collect pointed towards the fact that probably if you take LDN, you need a lower dose of chemo, and also that the LDN helps deal with the side effects and the recovery from the chemo. My first dose of chemotherapy, I was put on doxycycline, carboplatin and Herceptin. they gave me too much, and I had a lot of really quite nasty neurotoxic symptoms and was very, very ill. They reduced the dose by 20% for the next time. Then I went into anaphylactic shock, so they stopped the docetaxel altogether. So for the rest of the treatment, I just had the carboplatin, and I took LDN the whole time. I was previously taking LDN 3 milligrams for the MS. So I got the cancer diagnosis, I put it up to 4.5. And I think probably that did me a lot of good, because between having the surgery and getting the tumour removed and starting chemo, I was actually better than I had been in a long, long time. So I'd recommend that if people can tolerate the 4.5, they go for it. I had tried 4.5 previously, but I'd actually got worse. So I'd gone back to the 3. But maybe my ability to cope with it, or maybe my body needed more, because bodies change, don't they?
Yes. So what happened then after your chemo?
Well, I'm still having the Herceptin 3 weekly. I was told, for example, that the chemo would burn out my ovaries and I'd go into menopause. And whilst I was on chemo, I did have a lot of menopausal symptoms, but my periods have come back perfectly normally, which apparently is extremely unusual. So I do wonder if that's to do with the LDN helping the body recover. Bit of a nuisance, really. I thought I'd done and dusted the old menopause there. And I think probably, you know, being on the LDN has helped enormously, although obviously it's all ultimately conjecture, isn't it?
Yes.
But, you know, I do think that there are so many stories of so many people. You know, when I was researching what was the best thing to do, I wasn't at all convinced that chemo was my best option. And I'm still not. I went for it, A, because I wanted to accept it, because that did seem a sensible thing. And B, because I just felt, you know, although it wasn't black and white, the grey scales tipped just slightly in favour of the chemo.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that LDN is the future of cancer treatment, possibly in combination with the ALAs and the stuff that Dr. Bergson's doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been reading loads of different stuff about people who've had, you know, quite advanced metastases going into total remission with his treatments and with the stuff that Dr. Bahari was doing in New York. You know, there's a woman who had exactly the same diagnosis as me, who's, you know, years and years on from it. On, you know, she didn't have chemo, she just had the LDN and ALAs and things.
So what would you say to other people who would like to try LDN but a little bit frightened?
Lots and lots of people. I've lost count of the number of people that have phoned me up to ask about LDN. Every one of them, I have recommended that they do try it. These have mainly been people with MS, but some of them have been people with other kind of autoimmune problems like Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, arthritis, but also people with cancer. I mean, what I would say is what on earth have you got to lose? Everybody I know who has tried it has benefited from it. The only people I've ever heard of who have not benefited from LDN are people with MS who don't bother to change their diet, you know, who carry on taking stuff that has been demonstrated to be really bad for people with MS, you know, like dairy products from cows and such like.
Mm-hmm.
And wheats and things. Everybody I know who's tried it in combination with sensible diet changes has benefited enormously. Some people quite miraculously, but I've never known anybody to either not have any change or to deteriorate in any way.
Mm.
And that's, you know, a lot of people now, because loads of people have talked to me about it.
Well, I think we've sort of just about covered everything. Is there anything else you want to add?
I don't know who would be listening to this interview, but what I would say is try it. You've got nothing to lose. It's cheap and it's safe. And also, I would very much recommend that the professionals working in the field of both cancer and MS, and indeed any area where you're treating some sort of malfunction of the immune system, to recommend people try LDN right at the get-go, before they've got, you know, damage that maybe is irreparable. I do think they've got a responsibility to recommend it. It's been used for 30 years successfully. There is absolutely no reason not to recommend it. And I think that, you know, I've worked for the health service myself. I know how incredibly forceful and, what's the word, how the propaganda that the drug companies come out with kind of just, you just think it all sounds so sensible and so reasonable that you just kind of automatically believe it, because you don't think for a minute that people would be so wicked as to try and subdue or, you know, keep something secret that is so successful. Mm. But I am absolutely convinced now that the reason that LDN is not internationally available for all these problems is simply because of the amount of money that the drug companies would lose, because people would stop using things like beta interferon and steroids, and subsequently they'd stop using all the things that then you have to then take as a side effect. You know, for example, if you think about how much money is spent treating MS and Crohn's and all the autoimmune illnesses, and how much money goes into all the cancer services, the amount of money we could save if people used LDN would revolutionise the health service, and that money would be in the hands of, you know, the right people rather than the wrong people, perhaps.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your experience with us. I'm sure it's going to be very inspirational for other people.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.